Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Mickey Block Podcast. I'm your host, Jared, alongside Alyssa Antonelli once again, my trusty co-host for quite a while now. She's still sticking around, folks. She hasn't left. This is great. But then again, if I, if I jinx myself, I mean, who knows? Either way, we just want to thank you and welcome you once again to another edition of the podcast. New episodes dropping every single Friday, and I like to call it the most magical podcast on earth because we cover all things Disney here, from the parks to the streaming service to the cruise line to so much more. Even Alyssa's favorite things like Star Wars and Marvel and just all these things she knows so much about. But either way, super excited for today's episode because we are starting a brand new series, everybody. This is exciting. We've done multiple series in the past, a Disney Cruise Line series, a Perfect Day in the Park series, where we essentially detailed, partaking in a perfect day in each of the major Walt Disney World theme parks. The Disney Cruise Line series that we did recently focused on a specific episode for every single one of the DCL ships. So we basically went into detail of each ship and why you should want to choose that ship, the type of sailings they do, everything in between. It was a great and really fun series, but we're starting a new series today called Disney for All Ages. And essentially the entire point of the series is we will be covering multiple different kinds of trips, how to plan those kinds of trips, and everything in between. So essentially what I mean by that is today's episode is Disney trips for adults. So we're talking about how to plan the best Disney trip possible, you know, for adults, or even if it's not a long trip, even if it's a weekend, but if your entire group and your entire party are adults, then this episode is for you. Have no fear, there's going to be many more episodes. We're going to have episodes for Disney for the whole family, Disney for couples, Disney, we're just going to have episodes for Disney if you just want to go during the holidays and no other time of year. I'm just kidding. But honestly, I would listen to that. I'm just saying. So right away, I jumped into a lot, but I'd like to say, hello, Alyssa, how are you?
I always love when we start a new series. And this time I feel like really we can go a lot of different directions with this. And I think we're going to. Really, I mean, like this is like, I think we were, you know, with the Cruise Line series, it was like we knew there was each ship and we knew where it was going. I think we're going to take this kind of really in a neat direction. I think every single person who listens or watches is going to fit into one or multiple of our series, right? Like it's just going to, you know, Disney for kids, Disney for adults, multi-generational, Disney for couples, Disney for solos, Disney for only people who only like Christmas. I mean, would you listen to that part?
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's the episode if we're really being serious.
If you don't like Halloween but love Christmas, like I think that should be an episode. And then we'd have some haters and we'd have some people who love it. No, I'm only kidding. We're not going to do that. But, I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this. And I think it's going to really hit on, I think, like you said, I think there's going to be people that are going to hit into multiple spaces and they're going to be like, great. So we're going to come up with great, share tips and ideas and some of our favorites in each of these episodes. So I'm excited. I love series. So let's get this new series going.
Yeah, I do too. I think these are fun because people will want to go back and watch and listen to the other episodes in the series. And Alyssa's right. This specific podcast series is going to cover a lot of different age groups and a lot of different, you know, Disney travelers. We will primarily focus on Disney World, but a lot of our tips can be, you know, sort of applied to Disneyland and, you know, even Disney Cruise Line. So we're not going to be like, you know, strictly, this is how you go about Magic Kingdom every day with this age group. It really is supposed to be like a one size fits all, if you will, in terms of traveling on Disney vacations. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to start with strictly adult trips on this episode, but have no fear because there's going to be a lot of episodes to come from different age groups and different, you know, types of vacations. And
we're going to hit it all.
We're going to do it all. We're going to plan it and just cover and help you plan for those trips.
And I just want to say real quick, Jared, before we jump into it, you know, I'd love to have anybody who listens to these series, and I'm hoping there's lots of you, give us your feedback about things that are your favorite things about going to Disney as an adult, you know, especially for today's episode. But if you're listening to Disney for kids, Disney for, you know, couples, Disney on, so we want to hear what you have to say too, because just what you and I are saying, Jared, is just two people's opinion. Yeah. And I think we have a lot of experience and expertise in what we're saying, but I'd love to hear people's comments. Please leave comments of things that either we touched on or didn't touch on that are some of your favorites that you could share with other people who are watching and listening.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you just said, Alyssa, because some of my favorite, you know, parts of my weeks are going, you know, through Apple Podcasts and seeing great reviews you guys have left or specific episodes you guys love, or even seeing comments on our YouTube versions of each episode, because we are on YouTube. So if you want to watch the episodes, you can watch them on YouTube. And I love seeing the comments. There was quite a few great ones during the Disney Cruise Line series. So please keep them coming, and we'd be happy to. It does. And remember, this is just two people talking about Disney into a couple microphones. We're not the end all be all here, and we don't know everything, and we don't claim to know everything. We're just here to give you our professional, personal tips. Alyssa's been planning Disney trips for quite a long time now. I've been in the Disney blogging world for quite a while now, so we have a unique perspective. But at the end of the day, we're not. You guys are going to do what works for you, okay? And everybody's Disney trips are different. Trust me. I was at Epcot today, for example, and I walked by a couple who the dad was quite literally just saying, like, just go on whatever ride you want. I got a beer. I'm happy. And I heard him say that to his wife, and it's just so funny because, like, maybe 100 yards later, Alyssa, I saw a family, and the mom's like, we got to go to Nemo next. We got to go to land next. And the dad's like, yes, we do. Come on. Like, it's every family, every trip is totally different. I'm sure you've seen that so much over the years planning trips with Mickey Travels, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And there is no cookie cutter. There's also no right or wrong. I think that's the biggest takeaway from anything that you and I do. I mean, we're right now into episode 73. Now, I have not been around since episode one, so I don't claim you, but you have been, Jared. And I don't think that you or I would ever say that what we say is right, and if you don't do it our way, it's the wrong way. Or this is our opinion, your opinion's not important or doesn't matter. Absolutely not. Disney is for everybody to figure out and find out. But one of the things I've always said, certainly as part of Mickey Travels, is, you know, we want to, you and me and all the Mickey Travels agents want to give great experienced advice and information so that everybody listening and everybody watching and everybody who uses Mickey Travels will go to these Disney destinations more prepared, more confident, more excited. So that's really the goal. But there's no right or wrong. You know, like I said, I'm in my 17th year of being a Disney travel planner, which is pretty amazing considering, Jared, you're like just a little above being 17 years old.
It's true, yeah.
Just saying, you're a wee above. But the point is that nobody knows everything and nobody's opinion, you know, people are very passionate about their opinions about Disney, and that's good. But I will concede to the fact that my opinion, I try to base it on experience and knowledge, but it's not the be all and end all, and it's not right or wrong. It's just, like you said, Jared, two people who love Disney who have experience in the industry that want to share that with people who want to listen.
Yeah, and we're fortunate and lucky enough where we've had now tens of thousands of listeners, and we appreciate every single one of you who have tuned in, and we wouldn't be able to continue to do so if you didn't. So, you know, we appreciate it.
It would be. Well, thank you. Maybe if nobody listened and nobody watched and nobody, well, you just said there was zero, like big goose egg. I think you and I would still just do this and be like,
it's true.
Listen, no one's listening, but let's pretend they are.
Yeah, we would make sure at least.
We can still do it. I would pretend there's people listening.
Yeah, my mom might listen.
Maybe I'd get like one of my kids. I'd be like, listen, we got nobody. Jump on.
Just help us out here.
That kind of thing. And, you know, I feel like we have more, but we do love this, or we wouldn't do it.
Exactly. Alyssa and I talk about this stuff anyways. It's not like we're talking about things we wouldn't talk about normally.
Exactly. I mean, we'd be texting each other right now going, hey, what's your best, advice for Disney for adults? You know, it's all good. We just get the pleasure and the privilege of sharing it with the people who watch and listen. So thank you
for that. Absolutely. So with all that being said, we're going to jump into today's episode. Let's dive in. So the point of this episode is planning a Disney trip for adults exclusively. So picture this, you're planning a trip. There's maybe four of you. You're all adults. Maybe that means your siblings getting together. Maybe that means two couples. Maybe that means you, your wife, and your parents. You know, whatever it is, exclusively, you're going on an adults-only trip. You don't have kids involved. The reason I'm adding all that context is we are saving a lot of the tips for when you're bringing little ones or bringing your entire family for those episodes. So have no fear. If you're looking for that kind of advice, you will get it, just not in this episode. So having said that.
I'm listening to that and I'm thinking people are sitting back going, okay, Disney, you're not even bringing the kid factor in. Oh, you got it. You just have to wait for it. We're starting off in a different direction because we want to keep it fresh and we don't want you guys to expect anything. And that's what you're expecting us to talk about Disney with kids. We're going there. We're not going there today.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the great thing about this series is I wanted to add, you know, sort of context. And so did Alyssa about just how many different groups of people go to Disney, because Disney is meant to be for everybody. It's meant to be for your 3-year-old, and it's also meant to be for the 98-year-old. Like, that was part of Walt's vision. He's literally on record saying a quote about whether you're 1 or 92, welcome. Like, that's literally a direct quote from Walt Disney. Well, so it's pretty amazing.
Jared, you're bringing back these memories. This past summer, I had the privilege with several Mickey travel agents to go to Griffith Park. And that's the actual park in California where Walt Disney, the carousel, hopefully everyone can picture this in their mind. His daughters, he would take them there on a weekend afternoon and he'd sit on a bench and watch them on the merry-go-round. And they were enjoying it. And I'm sure he was enjoying watching them, but he wasn't part of that. He was part of it from afar. And if I'm not mistaken, if memory serves me, that was sort of the catalyst that made him think and imagine the idea of a place where he and other parents could actually be a part of that fun with their children. I mean, it's really pretty crazy because I don't know about you, Jared, but I don't think if I sat on a bench with my young kids on a merry-go-round, I would be like, if I could come up with a place where it wouldn't have come in my brain. Well, that's the genius of Walt Disney, but that is where it starts. And I think that is kind of, so it does go to show you Disney, he did have a vision where everybody would have something to enjoy. I don't think he ever imagined what Disney would be today, but I hope he'd be proud.
No, I don't think so either. In fact, let's just jump right into it with this specific topic, because when, you know, Disneyland first opened, there wasn't themed bars or places to go have a drink or these extravagant restaurants. Like, Disney has evolved so much over the years to the point where now, I quite literally see every single day I'm in the parks, adult only trips, and that happens constantly. And not only just old friends coming together, but you see bachelor parties, bachelorette parties. You see entire groups of people, especially at Epcot, having lots of drinks and bouncing around all together, wearing themed shirts, saying, you know, congratulations, you know, whoever and whoever. So I just think that's really cool that Disney has become that, because, you know, although I know not everybody loves that, you know, a lot of people I know out there are specifically more thrilled with Disney being more of a family place. I love that it is an option, because how cool is it that, you know, a place like that exists that can be for your 3-year-old, but can also be for your grandparent, but can also be a bachelorette location. I mean, how many places on earth can you even think of that are like that? I mean, I can't think of many at all. And that's what's great about it.
It's probably safe to assume. I know you've told me many times, you know, I'll say to you, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And you'll be like, oh, I have friends who are in town, and you're going to Disney Springs. You're going to Epcot. I'm not making that up, I don't think, right? Where you're, you know, maybe you'll have a few couples. I know, even over the holidays, you were at something that we were having, like a party, and you had friends in town. And I believe that you had friends and did things with them. It was another couple that was the same age. And I'm going to guess that there was something, you guys had a lot of fun with.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you, since I moved to Orlando in 2019, I don't know how many friends have visited Molly and I. I really don't know. And I'm not trying to say that as like, oh, we've had 1,000 trips. I just mean it absolutely has happened many times, whether it's been, you know, my adult brother and his girlfriend even, or, you know, close friends from college. We've had college friends visit. We've had couples visit. We've had several couples at once visit. We've done it all and always gone and had an incredible time at Disney together, whether it is just the parks or whether it's Disney Springs. So let's jump right into the top tips. I know that was a huge, long intro and a long, long-winded sort of explanation, but we wanted to give you guys...
I think we're setting the table for the meal.
Exactly, because we wanted to give context not just for today's episode, but all the episodes coming in the series. So if you're going to stick around.
I was going to say, exactly. If you want to keep going, we wanted to kind of entice you to come back for all the episodes. I think we did a good job with that, Jared.
I think so too. So let's jump right in. The first thing on my list when it comes to planning, you know, a adult-specific Disney trip is finding the right time of year. I know that's going to apply to almost every single age group, but oftentimes, especially when you don't have kids with you, you are looking for times when there aren't massive crowds and there aren't tons of other children there because you are spending time with other adults. So having said that, lots of adult-only trips people do plan for times when kids are in school or, you know, the parks aren't quite as busy. So, you know, times of year that I personally like that fit into that category. The last 2 weeks of August, it's super hot. I get it. But the crowds are actually really low that time of year, kind of a hidden little pocket. I also really enjoy the end of April, beginning of May. Kids are basically all in school that time of year. September is a great time of year as well. But also think about your group. You know, it doesn't just because you guys are adults doesn't mean you don't like Disney things. If you got a group of people that really love the holidays, or if you got a group of people that really love Halloween or really like eating and drinking, which most adults do, then maybe you go during Food and Wine Festival, you know, so you find those specifics within your group. This is going to be one of my top tips throughout every episode of this series is finding, regardless of time of year, finding what is best for your group in terms of what they enjoy. Because if you can find that out, if you can figure out, okay, my family is a huge Star Wars fan, then maybe you are going towards May the 4th, you know, or my family is a huge Christmas fan, then maybe you are going during the holidays. Like, this is a very basic piece of advice, but apply this to your trip, whether you are planning an adult-only trip or you are planning a trip for, you know, five kids. You know, it doesn't matter. I think this applies to everybody. Do you agree with that, Alyssa?
I do. I think, you know, definitely finding the time of year is the first step. I will tell you that I think you sort of, you hit on it. I find a lot of, and I'm sure you would agree, Jared, I find a lot of adults, whether again, it be bachelorette party or friends going together or just a couple without kids. I find a lot of people try to base it around the Epcot festivals. I mean, I know that's not the be all and end all, but as you mentioned, eating and drinking is a real big adult activity. I know it is for me anyway. So I think when it comes to food and wine or any of the, and let's be honest, the Epcot festival is pretty much run year round. I mean, I would probably, what would you say? There's how much space in between each one? I mean, not very many, like not a lot. Like it used to be that it was much more limited. And now the festivals are almost a year long thing. I do find that a lot of adults only, they do gravitate towards Epcot and the festivals and all that kind of stuff. So I think that if you're a foodie, you know, and you're going with friends who are adults, or you're going with another couple or what have you, I think a lot of people are going to see what the festival schedule is and maybe base around that to really enjoy eating and drinking around the world as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I mean, the obvious thing to talk about when it comes to adults going to Disney is Epcot and eating and drinking around the world. We are fully aware of that. I want to make that clear. However, I feel like every podcast or every video on the internet that's talking about Disney for adults is going to talk about eating and drinking around the world. So I don't want to spend a ton of time on that today, folks, just because we're trying to be a little different. We'll give you other tips, but it is an extremely good point what Alyssa's bringing up, because there are festivals year round, and frankly, they are all a lot of fun. And to be completely honest with you, it's almost weird when you go to Epcot and there's not a festival going on, because I actually went right in between Festival of the Arts and Flower and Garden Festival, Alyssa, with my wife, and we were walking around. I was like, I feel like there's like nothing to eat and drink right now. And obviously there was, but like, it's just so much more lively and there's so much more to eat and drink and try around the world. So just a few things to keep in mind. Having said that, it kind of brings us to our next point, because this also plays a factor in what we were just talking about, what time you want to stay when it comes to planning these trips, but also where you want to stay. Because let's be honest here, Alyssa, maybe not the adults, the adult only trip want to book the car suite at Art of Animation. Who knows? Maybe they do. Maybe they do. But there are some really great Walt Disney World resort options that you can book that are going to be more adult oriented than they are going to be kids. So let's talk about a few of those examples, because I think it's going to help a lot when it comes to planning, you know, adult specific trip. A few right off the top of my head. I always grew up when I became an adult, that is, you know, just like last year, Alyssa, you know, I always went with, my wife and her family. I've said this multiple times in the podcast, but, we spent a lot of time at the boardwalk because my wife's family went, they're all, you know, adults, and they all really love the boardwalk because it's laid back. You have bar options, you have drink options, you have adult pools, you have, you know, the yacht club and the beach club right there. It is a great vibe. And also it's right next to Epcot. So if you are going to spend a lot of time in Epcot, you can walk right over and conclude your night at the boardwalk. In fact, if you're not staying at the boardwalk and you're on an adult only trip, if you're wrapping up at Epcot, you can still walk right over to Boardwalk and end your night over there. I've done that many times and it's really wonderful. But that's not the only one I'd recommend. I have a few recommendations I want to fire off, and then I want to get Alyssa's as well. Coronado Springs. I really love Coronado Springs for adults because There are a lot of bar lounges, adult areas. There's a rooftop lounge there called the Dahlia Lounge. It's very popular, very, very cool. It's also, you know, nice and secluded, but very big. There's also, you know, quiet pools over there too. Outside of that, of course, you know, Riviera is very elegant, very pretty resort. And then even staying on one of the monorail resorts, there will be lots of families, but they're all, you know, so nice. And they all kind of do have the vibe where you can spend your time just strictly as adults, because there's a lot more dining options. And the last thing I will say is, I know I mentioned Coronado, but a lot of people think like, oh, if I want to have a nicer or less kid friendly or more adult focused trip, I got to stay at a deluxe resort. I don't think that's entirely true. I think Coronado can give you quite a bit, but I also think several of the other moderate resorts can give you quite a bit as well that aren't going to be as, you know, jam-packed with children and families of that nature. I mean, Port Orleans is really a great example of that, Riverside and French Quarter, but also, you know, people have a lot of love for, like I said, Coronado and, you know, just a lot of these, you know, resorts that give you even Caribbean Beach. So yeah, I know I just sort of said a lot there, but I wanted to get your opinions, Alyssa, on when you're planning an adult only trip, or if you're thinking about maybe adults who do want to grab drinks and walk around, maybe take it easier, enjoy quiet pools, things of that nature. What comes to mind for you?
Well, the thing about it is that there's no doubt when you go to the value resorts, they're going to be a more of a hustle bustle. There's a lot of kids. And I'm not saying that adults don't stay there. It's certainly, it's your price point also, obviously. You know, we're not going to say, oh, every adult has to stay at the Grand Floridian. But the value resorts are much busier. There are a lot of kids running around the pools and the big icons at the All-Stars. I do agree. What's really nice, for example, staying on the monorail, and you mentioned also, you know, people will go, and I hate to make this all about alcohol. I feel like it's going to be very alcohol forward, the food and alcohol forward, because it's about adults. But, you know, people will do like a monorail crawl, and they'll go to different bars. You've got, you know, Enchanted Rose at the Grand Floridian. You've got Tambu Lounge at Polynesian. You know, you can go to different, you know, places along there. Obviously, you know, you can get different experiences, different places. But, you know, when you go into the Grand Floridian, you're certainly going to see children there, but it just has such a different sort of elegant, sort of less hustle bustle than you're going to find at, you know, any of the value resorts. And I agree, the moderates, I think you start to shift away, but I think it's still a little bit more family forward at the moderate resorts than I think when, and I'm not saying they have children at the deluxe resorts. Okay. So I don't want anyone thinking I'm going to go to the Grand Floridian and not see one kid. No, but it's not as child forward as the value or the moderate resorts. If you're looking for more, if you can, you know, if the price point works for you, and you can stay at a deluxe resort with adults, I would highly recommend that, just because I think you're going to get more of that adult experience. But that doesn't mean if you stay at Pop Century, you're not going to have an awful lot of fun if you're not with kids, for sure.
No, and in fact, Pop Century is a great call if you are going to stick at a value price point, just because you do have the Skyliner right there. And Alyssa, you mentioned the monorail bar crawl, but lots of people also partake in the Skyliner bar crawl. It's the same sort of concept. You jump on and you can go enjoy a drink at Caribbean Beach and Riviera and also the boardwalk.
You like, don't have to get in the car. Someone else is driving for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Disney is driving for you in a gondola.
Because you mentioned real briefly about the boardwalk, you know, you mentioned about, you know, there's Abracadabra. I know that my older son loves Jelly Rolls, one of his favorites to go to. You know, again, it's a great vibe, but it also has, it definitely, I find the boardwalk to be much more adult forward, adult friendly than, let's say, more. I mean, they have boardwalk games and they have the pizza window. One of these days, Cake Bake will open up, and that'll be really fun. We're excited about Cake Bake, obviously, but not yet. It hasn't opened yet. But I think that there's a lot of, you know, there's great restaurants over there. There's Flying Fish, you know, and just it is a great place for, you know, like you said, if you're in, and to stay there, stay at the Boardwalk, stay at the Beach Club, stay at the Yacht Club. Super fun. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And beyond all that, I do want to shift gears because I want to take our mid-episode break here. Talk about, I know, Alyssa and I like to talk a little bit, and we have an easier time doing it than other people. Either way, we're going to mention that this episode and every episode of the Mickey Black Podcast is brought to you by Mickey Travels. And Mickey Travels is a diamond earmarked travel agency that can book your Disney vacations for you, and not just book it, but plan it and, you know, just everything down to a T that you're going to just feel as comfortable as possible. They're diamond earmarked by Disney, and their services are always 100% free. So reach out to Mickey Travels today for a free quote on your Disney vacation at MickeyTravels.com. It's MickeyTravels.com, making magic one vacation at a time. And the great part about going to Mickey Travels, especially in relation to this series, is your travel agent, your Mickey Travels agent, is going to be able to help you with literally everything we're talking about. And all they need is the context. If you tell your travel agent, hey, I am planning a adults-only trip. There's six of us, and we want to just do like 2 days in the parks, and the rest we just want to, you know, have drinks and bounce around resorts. Guess what? They can literally put together quite an itinerary and plan for you and give you advice on where to stay for that and everything within your budget. It's a no-brainer, and the services are literally always free to you. It's not going to cost you anything extra to go through a Mickey Travels agent than it is to book yourself. So, exactly. So there's a few other things I want to talk about in the second half of this episode, Alyssa. For starters, I want to mention like adulting at the theme parks, because we spent a good amount of time on resorts. We spent some time on resorts you can bounce around to. We also spent some time on like figuring out the vibe of your group. But I also, you know, I'm fully aware that you don't have to, just because you're an adult doesn't mean you're going to Disney to drink. You know, like I'm fully aware there's a lot of people who don't drink alcohol at all. So that's great. Let's talk about that for a second, because I think going as an adult, let's just face the facts here, it does make your park days a little bit easier. You're not thinking about changing diapers. You're not thinking about your six-year-old having a meltdown over, you know, a cupcake that fell on the ground in Fantasyland. For the record, I've also...
When in the sky?
Yeah, and for the record, I'm not speaking ill about those kind of things. You don't trade your kids for anything, and those are lifelong memories. But you do have the advantage where you do have, you know, sort of an easier group to plan around. So having said that, going into your park days, whether you are going to Magic Kingdom, whether you are going to Animal Kingdom, whether you are going to Hollywood Studios, Magic Kingdom, you are also going to have this advantage where you might not feel like you have to do the full day at the park. A lot of that will obviously be determined on crowds and things of that nature, but you can spend not necessarily always just a half day. You can if you'd like, if that's your vibe, but you're going to be able to accomplish quite a bit if your group is ready and willing. If you get there at Rope Drop and everyone's like, yeah, let's go on Rock and Roller Coaster, we don't have to do a rider swap. We don't have to have two kids that aren't tall enough to go on Rock and Roller Coaster. We can just jump on. Like, these are things that you have an advantage of if you do have a group of adults. So anything else that you can think of in terms of that scenario and that group of topics, Alyssa, because I just think it's important to notate that obviously not everybody drinks alcohol. And also when you are planning these trips to go to the parks, you know, things like going to eat where you'd like, you know, grabbing snacks instead of everybody needs a full meal, or, you know, maybe you want to take a midday break. If you are a drinker, maybe you do want to take a midday break at one of these Disney bars that are in the theme parks, because there's a lot of those as well. So it's just something to consider. And there's so many ways to do this. But rest assured, if you are going to Disney as a group of adults, it's just factually correct that your days could be significantly easier. And that is a huge credit to all those moms and dads out there who pull off those amazing Disney trips, despite how difficult it is to have multiple kids and different age groups. Trust me, I watched my mom with five kids as a kid going to Disney, and I was always like, oh man, that seems like a lot of work. Granted, when I was a kid, I didn't think that, but looking back, I definitely see that. So, what else did you have to say about this whole topic, Alyssa?
And this is nothing to knock least like go to Disney, because there's lots of them. I've done Disney with three kids at younger, and double strollers, you know, done the meltdowns when things I've, you know, kids, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but I have had kids that have had accidents, you know, bathroom accidents, and you're in the middle of Main Street and you got to figure it out. I mean, you know, we have stories now, my kids are older, so, you know, we're past that. Yeah, it's all good though. Right. I mean, we're going to have a great episode on families, and like, that's going to be like amazing. But what's really cool, actually, I also want to mention, I agree with you, Jared, like it's easier. You can come and go. Also, you have to remember, when it comes to the parks, when it comes to kids, there's height restrictions on certain attractions. There's probably no height restrictions on adults. So you don't have to worry about, I mean, how many times have you seen, Jared, a little kid's going up to Space Mountain, gets over to where the height thing is, it'll make it. Now he's crying, she's crying, the mother's like, all right, well, you know, you take the other kid, I'll take him on People Mover. Well, that's not a consolation. It's not good, right? Like, oh, yay, I'm gonna go on People Mover instead of Space Mountain. I mean, I love People Mover, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Jared? Like multiple times where they don't meet the height requirement.
Oh yeah, multiple times.
Now again, we're gonna talk. It's all good, right? Like, we're not here to talk negative about bringing your children and family vacation. But today we're focusing on adults, and the point of what I was trying to make was, everyone can go on everything. There's no restrictions based on age or I'm sorry, height or whatever. So there's that. The other thing I wanted to mention, and some people do this and some people don't. If you're a bunch of adults and you had a late night and you want to sleep in and you don't want to go to the parks till late morning, you can do that. You can't do that with kids. You can't be like, kids, dad drank a little too much last night. We're not leaving for the parks till 11. You know, you can't do that. Kids are ready to go. Kids are up at, I mean, Jared, when your mom took you, the five of you, I'm guessing you were up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. No, I'm telling you, when you were younger. You were ready to go, right? You were excited about the day. You know,
if I wasn't, my mom was making me.
Well, that's my point. But the thing is let's say you're there with another couple or a couple. You guys could be like, hey, you know what? It's okay if we get a late start tomorrow. Like, it's all good.
Yeah.
Do you see where I'm kind of going with that?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of hits on another angle of, if you're going to the parks with a group of adults, is you can stay to the very end. Sure. You know, like a lot of kids, have bedtimes, you know, that they start fading. Trust me, I see those kids in strollers come 7-8 o'clock at night when it's usually their bedtime, and they've walked about 5 million more steps than they usually have their little legs in a day, and they've had sugar and they're just crashing, and the moms are like, we got to get them home. And there's a reason why a lot of families leave the park as soon as fireworks end, because they're thinking, okay, that's the last bit my kids have in them. We got to get them to bed. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to do tomorrow. Where if you're an adult and Magic Kingdom's open till 11, guess what? Some of the lowest lines you're going to see at any point at a Disney park is those last few hours of park open, because of how many children and families need to get out of there for you know, bedtime and everything like that. So that's just another thing to take advantage of.
Can sleep in the next day if you wanted to. You don't have to get up at the crack of dawn. Whereas imagine that same scenario. You've got the kids. They're cranky. You get them home. Mm-hmm. Get them back to the resort. Maybe they don't sleep that great, but they're up the next morning to do it again. And you're like, okay, hold on a minute. You know, it's just a lot. It's interesting about right before COVID, literally right before COVID, it was the month before COVID, I was in Disney for three nights with six of my sorority sisters. And this was in February 2020. And we stayed at the Polynesian, which is my favorite resort. And we just had a ball. I mean, we had two connecting rooms, but we slept in. We didn't feel an urgency to get to the park, but we did. We stayed late. Everything that you just said, Jared, and I have to say, mm-hmm. it was one of the best times we had had. All the kids, everyone left their kids at home, and it was just the seven of us, and it was a hoot. It was awesome. And yeah. Nobody was like overtired because we stayed out late, but we didn't get up at the crack of dawn. We would make like a breakfast reservation at like 10:30, 11. And then we get to the parks at noon or 1. We'd do a couple hours. We'd go back to the resort. We'd swim. We'd relax. We'd do a little work, shower, all that. And then we were good to go till the park closed at, you know, 1 a.m.
And that's really a good point.
It was really, really fun. We still talk about it. And this was five years ago? No, 4 years
ago. And that's a good point too, Alyssa, is like you brought up a good point about how a lot of adults, what they can do is not just, okay, I want to sleep in, not get to the park until midday. Maybe you want to go that route. But another route you can do as well is maybe you do want to wake up early, get to the park, go for 3 or 4 hours, and then go back to your resort, take a pool break and then go grab dinner at a resort, head back for the last 3-4 hours of park then, because then you're hitting the park right when it's either too early for families to show up or too late for families to be there. Like, you're catching these times where it is mostly adults and things of that nature. So just something to think about.
If I can mention to you, you just kind of jog my memory. If you're doing adults only and you go that route and you decide it's like 1-2 in the afternoon, let's go back to the resort and let's just swim. Here's the cool thing. And again, I do not mean this against bringing families, right? Because that's what it's about. But you go to the pool. You don't have to, did we bring the floaties? Did we bring an extra swim diaper? No. My daughter got splashed on. She's crying. Like, you can go and find a lounge chair, put on your sunscreen, right? Because that's safety. And just relax at the pool. Not many families, I mean, think about it. Even if you have a 9 to 10 year old or 11, 12, you're still watching them in the pool. So you're not really, you're still on. You're still in like parent mode. But when you go as adults mm-hmm. to the pool, whether it be, you know, the Polynesian pool or Stormalong Bay, or honestly, even if it's the big blue pool, you know, at Art of Animation, you can just literally grab a drink. Here we are. Sorry, drink and relax and really shut the engines down without having to be on at the pool like you're on at the parks.
And another point that sort of adds to what you were just saying, Alyssa, is kind of to go back to resorts and picking that resort for your adult Disney trip, is a lot of both the moderates and the deluxe resorts will have quiet pools. So if that's what you're looking for, then that's really great. And I know when I was a kid, I remember thinking, I don't want the quiet pool. I want to go to the water slide. I want to go enjoy. And now when I go to Disney resorts with my wife or my friends, I'm like, oh, I just, there's too many people screaming right now. I need to go lay on a lounge chair with my drink and just enjoy the sun, you know? And I think there's a reason for that. There's exactly. And trust me, if you want to go to the main pool where the water slides are, you also have that option too. It's really, it's completely your decision. Go at your time, your pace, and go where you want to go. And that's the beauty of these vacations.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. But I know we're not going to talk much about this, but I just want to make one statement, if I will. What you just said about, you know, you can do all those things. You can choose the quiet pool over, or you can choose. I think that's very translatable to the Disney Cruise Line for adults. Yeah. We're talking about adults. There's an adults only pool. There's an adults only. Serenity Bay is an adults only beach area at Castaway. There's bars that are just for adults. There's Apollo. That's just for adults. Like, so if you want to just, we're not going to put any more emphasis on it, but as you mentioned in the beginning of the episode, how it could sort of be translated to other Disney destinations. Certainly what we're talking about there's a lot of adult choices where you're not around the screaming kids or the kid that's having the tantrum. And, maybe you kind of left the kids at home to get away from that for a little bit. Those options are at every Disney destination.
Yeah, I mean, there are, adult, obviously you got to be an adult to go to certain bars and things of that nature. But this also applies to Disneyland. I mean, there are going to be quieter sections and there are going to be restaurants and bars that there aren't as many people around. I mean, it is completely your decision on how you want to do it. I mean, to be honest with you, I only got to go to Disneyland once, been there once. And let me tell you, my wife wanted to experience as much park time as possible since she had never been. And it was like a lifelong thing of her wanting to go. But I still took a 2-3 hour break to enjoy the pool at the Grand Californian because I thought the pool area was so gorgeous and I love that resort and I wanted to walk around the resort. And of course I did find my time when I was doing that. I was like, wow, this is kind of nice and quiet. There aren't as many kids around. Like you can do that and you can choose to do that. But if you have a 7-year-old child who needs, a snack and needs a nap and needs these things,
sunscreen, you
got to go where the life has taken you on those days. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't trade my trips as a kid with my whole family for anything. I love those family vacations. I love being a kid and experiencing the things at Disney World. But I also very much so enjoy going to Epcot on a Saturday night with my wife, like I did this past weekend. Like, it's great. And that's the whole point of this series. It's called Disney for All Ages for a reason. So we talked about parks, how you can take advantage of things. I did want to mention briefly when it comes to drinking, if you are planning on having drinks in the parks, just a reminder that Magic Kingdom does not serve alcohol unless you're at their sit-down restaurants. So just something to be aware of. Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Those three are a different story. You can grab drinks at quick service locations. And there are some very fun bars that you should check out while you are there. If you're in a group of adults and you, hey, I don't care to go on a bunch of rides. I want to go check out a bar while we're in Animal Kingdom. Well, then go to Nomad Lounge, for example, because I think that's an incredible spot. It's one of the best spots on property to grab drinks and things like that. You can also, if you're in Hollywood Studios, you can stop in TuneIn Lounge and grab a drink like you're in the 1950s, or you can go to Oga's Cantina and grab a drink where you're in a Star Wars bar. There are these themed lounges and bars throughout Walt Disney World that obviously aren't going to be very kid-centric because, you know, they're serving alcohol, and these are spaces. If dad wants a beer in Hollywood Studios, there is, you know, an entire brew house there where you can, you know, grab yourself a draft beer. I mean, that's pretty cool to me, Alyssa, that exists for those options. And it gives people that sort of leniency to experience those kinds of things. And obviously we don't need to go into Epcot. There's no shortage of bars and places to grab a drink while you're at Epcot. So have no fear.
No, I agree. I think that's great because it's great that you also talked about the themed, you know, lounges and bars. And the other thing, just real quick, I just wanted to touch on, which I think sort of is a good segue, is just, you know, some of the, I call it more of adult dining locations. They're certainly not restricted, like, whereas Palo on the cruise ships are restricted to adults. So you'll never see kids in Palo under 18. I don't know if you consider an 18-year-old kid, but you know what I'm talking about. You're not going to find a 10-year-old in Palo. However, they don't restrict, except for Victorian Albert's, which is adults only. But if you know, I don't know if they still call it this, but they certainly used to call them signature dining locations. I don't know if that term still exists, Jared. Maybe it does. I don't know. I know that's what it used to be called. But think restaurants such as California Grill, Narcusi's, Le Cellier, Citrico's, I don't know. I'm trying to think of Yachtsman Steakhouse, you know, things like that. I still call them signature dining. Now, they are not restricted to just adults, so you will see kids in there. But for the most part, if you're doing an adults only vacation and you're a foodie, forget about the Epcot festivals, talking about just a nice dinner, you're going to have a lot of great options, such as the ones I just mentioned, that are going to be more adult centric. Where they're going to have beautiful wine lists. They're going to have great, you know, wine pairings to, you know, great food. The food is going to be, you know, again, your filet mignon, your lobster tail, not your chicken nuggets and your cheeseburgers. And so when it comes to, especially, and then remember also when you're talking about adults, maybe you're coming for an anniversary. Maybe you're coming for, I've seen, yeah. Jared, I'm going to assume you've seen this. I've seen probably a half a dozen proposals at California Grill.
Yeah,
at least five or six in my time.
Like, I got engaged.
I got engaged
at Disney's Riviera. I got engaged at Disney's Riviera, and we all went to Topolino's to celebrate. Where we went.
That's what I'm saying. There weren't no kids there, you know, but it's much more, again, you know, it's elegant. It's the lighting is lower. The food is a little bit elevated. The wine is elevated. So when it comes to adults only, there's some really great look. Now you might be an adult that's like, I want 50s prime time. I want sci-fi. Like, that's awesome. Right. Like, that's great. I mean, that, you know, you want,
or you want character dining.
Exactly. You want Chef Mickey's. That's amazing. We actually did Chef Mickey's with my sorority sisters. We had a blast. We did breakfast there.
That's awesome.
Can you imagine? We had the best time. But we also went to La Hacienda one night and watched, you know, the fireworks. I guess there were still fireworks. It was before COVID. And, you know, I know that when it comes to, you know, my husband and I have celebrated anniversaries at California Grill. Again, not to go off on a tangent, which I have already, some of these dining options that I call signature dining are really nice options for adults only trips to Disney.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I've had multiple very wonderful meals at some of these signature dining restaurants. Just to name a few that I highly recommend, I personally really love Jiko over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I think that's a wonderful spot. It is going to definitely be more adult-centric. It's celebrating a lot of unique flavors, not just African cuisine, but all over the world. Jiko also sports one of the biggest wine lists you're going to find on Walt Disney World property. I learned that the last time I was over there. They also have Flying Fish over on the boardwalk, really amazing seafood. Topolino's Terrace, of course, we already mentioned. But what's great about Topolino's as well as California Grill, both highly recommended locations. These are signature dining options. They also have these rooftop areas that you can go hang out at, watch the fireworks from both of those rooftop locations. I mean, that's a great way to have a romantic dinner with your partner and also get to enjoy firework view with a drink on the rooftop. I mean, that's fantastic. I've done it many times to celebrate special occasions. I've done it with my parents and my wife, just my parents and my wife. This past fall, we did a few signature dining restaurants. Narcoosie's, for example, over at Grand Floridian, right on the water. You can watch the fireworks. Very romantic setting. So I've done a celebratory, you know, anniversaries and everything from even an engagement. So you can do all these sort of things and enjoy that at those signature dining restaurants. Really, really great thing that Alyssa just brought up. So the last thing I want to talk about today are some of the other things you can do across Walt Disney World property, starting with Disney Springs, because we didn't spend a whole lot of time with this, but Disney Springs has a ton of things for adults to do. Now, I will say Disney Springs isn't just for adults because there's plenty for kids to do too, and the whole family to do, especially with shopping and things of that nature. But Disney Springs definitely has the largest collection of bars and restaurants and lounges when it comes to really Walt Disney World. So if you're looking to do a bar hopping night or bounce around to a few different lounges, Disney Springs even has happy hours, which I always thought was interesting that Disney even has happy hours on property. Like, so that's pretty cool. And if you're staying at one of the resorts near Disney Springs, like Saratoga, Old Key West, or even Port Orleans, you can take a boat over there, which could make a really fun night for you. So definitely plan a day, plan a night with your group of adult friends, family over to Disney Springs, because places like Raglan Road or Wine Bar George, the Boathouse, Morimoto, Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, these are all really wonderful locations that you can enjoy great drinks and food at. And, you know, Alyssa and I both love Homecoming, Chef Art Smith's Homecoming. So that's another great spot as well.
My new favorite restaurant.
Your new favorite.
Summerhouse.
That's true. Summerhouse. That is true. Summerhouse is over there.
Shouting out Summerhouse to everybody. But also, Jared, you can go bowling with your friends at Splitsville.
Yeah.
Have some great food. They have great sushi, great appetizers. You can also go see Cirque du Soleil. So you can see Drawn to Life and see a great show there. They have House of Blues. They have, you know, City Works. They have
concerts at House of Blues.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot. And then lastly, I know we're about to shut it down. Also for adults, if you wanted to take advantage of some rounds of golf, you can also, there's some great golf courses. I know a couple of them are under construction right now. But, you know, right now, you know, you could go to Lake Buena Vista. Either the Palm or Magnolia is being refurbished, but there's great golf. I know a lot of adults who love to golf will also take advantage of that. There's also mini golf, which I've seen a lot of, like, you know, that doesn't have to be families. So there are, like, and then lastly, you know, let's be honest, I know it seems family oriented, but I've seen a lot of adults go to the water parks. You've got Blizzard Beach, you've got Typhoon Lagoon. They'll go and they'll just spend a day lounging on the lazy river. Again, not having to worry about kids, just going on Summit Plummet and not having to, like, oh, who's got the kids? Who's doing this? You know, so there's just so much across Disney property for adults. Gosh, it's just, it's incredible. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have a great episode on what to do with kids. I mean, Jared, we're going to probably be forever talking about that, but we've spent an hour talking about adults, and I think we could probably keep going, but I think we need to give everyone their time back.
Yeah, we're going to give everybody their proper shine. But, you know, on the same topic, as Alyssa was saying, there are these bonus activities that you can do that are highly recommended. Things like seeing a show, as we talked about, but you can also even go fishing at Disney. So if you got a group of guys that really love fishing, you can do that. You can go horseback riding. You can go on a horse-drawn carriage. I did that for one of my anniversaries. I took my then girlfriend, now wife, on a horseback ride over at on a carriage over at Port Orleans, and we thought it was wonderful. So you know, there's things like that that you can do. You can even go on a fireworks cruise if you'd like, on, you know, one of the boats. So that's really cool. There's so many options for you. And the last thing I do want to mention, because I didn't mention it earlier, when it comes to bars and lounges, look. Everybody talks about this place in Walt Disney World. You really should go to Trader Sam's if you're able to do it. It is actually a bar that not only is popular, guys, like I cannot even emphasize how popular Trader Sam's is, but that actually is adults only, Alyssa. I sort of forgot to mention that earlier. That is you can't go in there with like a group of kids and everything like that. That is an adults only little room.
Yeah, that's and it definitely is a ton of fun. Try it out. Yeah, for sure.
And just make sure you get there early, okay? Because I've been there
very small.
An hour and a half. I yeah, mean, it's a you got to get on that wait list.
Yeah, I mean, like I don't know how many people they could fit in there, but it's not a ton. It actually reminds me, size wise, of maybe a touch bigger than Gideon's. Like, you know, everyone thinks Gideon's like this big place. I was in Disney Springs recently, and someone's like, "Oh, can you eat in there?" I'm like, "You could barely stand in there." You know, Trader Sam's is a little bit like that. It's small, but oh man, Trader Sam's is fun. That's a good call, Jared. That's a fun one that not everybody thinks about, because it's hidden. You would pass by it and not know it's there.
Yeah, it's located at Disney's Polynesian Resort. A great addition to the monorail bar crawl if you're going to do that. It's just one of those locations, but it's just one of many, many bars that we could do an entire episode on bars and lounges. In fact, we actually have on the Mickey Bob podcast had a Disney author who wrote a book all about bars and lounges. So you can go back and check out that episode if you'd like. So, either way, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody who tuned into today's episode. We hope you're going to enjoy this new series. We're excited about this series. We're excited about all the episodes we're going to do. It really is going to be a fun series where we talk all about Disney for all ages, and Disney for not just adults, but Disney for kids, Disney for the whole family, Disney for couples. There's so many episodes that may or may not be coming. You'll see. But either way, in order to watch or listen to the Mickey Bod podcast, just stay tuned, because new episodes drop every single Friday. You can watch our episodes on YouTube, or you can listen to our episodes, because our episodes are available to you on Apple, Spotify, and every major podcast platform. So just stay tuned for more episodes that will be coming every single Friday. And if you want to support Mickey Bog, stay up to date with all things Disney, of course, head over to MickeyBog.com. We cover Disney 365 24/7. And we are on all sorts of social medias as well, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all that fun jazz. So thank you so much for tuning in. We can't wait to see you guys again next Friday for another edition of the Mickey Bod Podcast. And plan those adult Disney trips. We promise you, it's worth it. There's a thing or two to do. So we hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. We'll see you guys next week.